Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One constant through all the years, Ray, has been
baseball.
Matt Spiegel.
Are you into letting strangers hug you?
I assume you don't want a hug from Spiegel.
Not really.
Host of Inside the Clubhouse and Hit and Run.
Baez with a deep drive towards center field. Malik Smith goes back and can only watch. Javier Baez with a long home run onto the grass in center field. Good vibes, man.
MLB columnist for 670thescore.com.
That's where our game, and I say our because I love it so much.
Matt Spiegel.
Enthusiasms. What am I? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Dave.
Baseball.
Matt Spiegel with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
When the Cubs and Sox sweep a baseball weekend, we talk to Matt Spiegel. If they get swept in a baseball weekend, we're going to talk to Matt Spiegel because we like talking to Matt Spiegel about baseball and other things. And I want to get the COVID updates out of the way in case you're just getting in the car, you're just tuning in. The virus is impacting the world of sports and Chicago sports specifically. Teddy Greenstein reporting that Northwestern has paused their football workouts after a player tested positive for COVID-19. Jordan Lucas becomes the second Bear to opt out of the season. Bears safety Jordan Lucas joining Eddie Goldman and opting out. And the Field of Dreams game between the Cardinals and White Sox for next Thursday has been canceled because of logistical concerns with pulling that off. We are now up to 13 members of the Cardinals organization who have tested positive for the virus, so their four-game series with the Cardinals is canceled. The hope is that they'll be able to resume the season against the Cubs on Friday. Chris Bryant is back in the lineup. Now you're caught up. Let's go out to the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's up, Speaks?
What up, men? Yeah.
Positivity, Tanny. Come on now.
It keeps going, Tanny. The owners are committed to the postseason. They're committed. Each one of those S's in postseason might as well be a dollar sign, baby. One team has an outbreak, no biggie. 33 games canceled going into yesterday. I think it's 38 postponements now. Now the Central divisions are going to be disrupted. No worries. Come on, West. What you got? Let's bring one. Let's go. They're just gonna keep rolling, man. We'll go by win percentage. We don't care. Doubleheaders are now 7 innings. That's right. We don't care. Let's roll. Hey, Marlins, you got a fielded team. Who you got? Oh, you furloughed your pro scouting staff? Well, that's unfortunate. You still got a fielded team. You see how many roster moves the Marlins made today? They made like 15 roster moves today. It's like, okay, give me your next 15. 15 more go down? Who else do you got? Competitive integrity. We'll tell you what competitive integrity is. It doesn't really exist too much in the mind of Rob Manfred. That he's going to stretch the limits of competitive integrity. And you know what? I'm here for it, baby. I'm right.
I thought
here
you would
for
be.
It. Yeah. I mean, look at our teams. Look at our teams in this
yes.
town.
Yes.
Not only mostly void of COVID terror as Nomar Mazara comes back, and the Cubs have not had a single member other than Tommy Haddavy during the shutdown, Mike Napoli during the shutdown. Look at these guys. Look at these teams. Look at the offenses combined. One team has starting pitchers. The other one has a bullpen. They both have tremendously exciting players. And, man, I know you guys were digging it yesterday, flip-flopping back and forth on a Sunday afternoon watching two good teams that we have in this town. And it's been great fun. So I am right here to see the limits of Rob Manfred's competitive integrity and or shame. I don't think the limits of his shame are going to be anything that we can guess. So let's keep going as long as we can, no matter if it's scientifically viable or even correct for us to be doing it as a nation. I'm here for it. And I know you guys are probably too.
Yeah, we are. We had different opinions on starting the 10th inning with a runner on second base. Danny doesn't like the conversation that's being driven about bunting. I loved it. I thought it was perfect. It gave me a reason to put everything else on hold. It's urgency time. Don't miss the 10th inning because you're going to miss what decides the outcome. For me, that was my reaction. How did you receive it first time through?
Yeah, well, first time through with the locals yesterday. Absolutely. Immediate sense of urgency. Every half inning, Jeremy Jeffress comes in, works a clean inning, but he's in desperate straits. Dire straits. How dare I not use the Knopfler band if I'm going down the straits road. But so he's in trouble immediately. I have come to like it. I absolutely have. It's understandable that we're doing it in this year. I've seen it before in softball quite a bit with my stepdaughters playing a high level of softball. And I saw that, I think it was Phil Nevin, the former player and current minor league manager, who described it to Jason Stark as half court baseball. Like right away, you're playing half court baseball and everything is still in play. You can be an idiot and make a bad base running play on contact, get thrown out. You can have an immediate play at the plate and see Kyle Schwarber make a hell of a throw and Contreras block the plate. You can see all of that. Sure, you could have a bunt and a sacrifice fly, but you also saw the Pirates not pinch run right away in their half of the 10th. They let a slow guy there. That's who Schwarber threw out, the guy Stallings. Because they didn't want to burn a pinch runner necessarily because they're playing for a bigger inning than one when you're on the road. I think it's got a lot of strategic depth, much more than some people had anticipated, and I'm actually enjoying it. And I don't think I'm going to miss the 16, 17, 18 innings games that ended up being a badge of honor that we all said the next day, did you stay with it? Did you? Huh? Did you? I did. Did you?
I mean, it's like, all right, game.
Right. Yeah, the small is like, hey, four of us stayed up and watched. OK, that's good for the game. It's not. So I'm digging it.
I agree. It's not that part isn't good for the game. And I don't even hate the rule. Like I think I will come around to it eventually. I'm just not there yet because it did strike me as a lot of, even if it wasn't implemented as a sacrifice bunt, sacrifice fly, win the game. It was just it was just a lot of bunting conversation. I was kind of inundated with the possibility of it. And I was like, I don't love that part of it, but the urgency factor is undeniable, and especially in this season when the goal is, hey, start game, end game, get me to that playoff money, then I don't really care at all because none of this is resembling what we had known baseball to be for all of those years. You know, we haven't talked about him yet, but you mentioned Kyle Schwarber. He's been so good. Like, he looks awesome. Do you look at this as just an extension of last year or the second half, or is it something more?
No, it's definitely an extension of the second half. But remember, he looked good in the spring and he looked good immediately in the intra-squad scrimmages when he came in. He was in great shape and locked in and has stayed exactly where he's supposed to be, showing you bat control, hitting the hell out of the ball, but occasionally going the other way, showing more discipline. No, I think Kyle Schwarber got over a big hump last year. And I expect it to continue. I mean, you know, maybe he'll never be Babe F and Ruth, but this version of Kyle Schwarber is pretty damn good. And I like that Ross is letting him play left field as much as he is, because he's very survivable there in a position where you don't have to be great. And I think it keeps his head in the game more, and he feels more like a complete ball player, and that's healthy for him.
He's made me a believer defensively. Anybody who's watched him has seen the progress, and especially with the arm. But yesterday was not a case in point. You pointed out the Pirates don't pinch run for that big goof Stallings. That was a terrible throw. I mean, he got it to Contreras on the fly, but it was way up the line. A fast runner, that's a run for the Pirates yesterday. That's a terrible throw.
Well, I don't know. Terrible? It's like four or five feet up the line.
He brought him way up the line, man.
Well, it seemed to work out just fine. So
yes, it did work out, and it sounds good in promo form because Pat Hughes' description is running as a promo on the great throw by Schwarber, and I heard that in postgame as well yesterday on Marquee, and I'm thinking, man, he really pulled his catcher up. But that's splitting hairs at this point. I agree with
it
you.
Is.
Yeah,
no, it definitely is. And just overall, the offense, I mean, OPS, Cubs and Sox are fourth and fifth in baseball. OBP, they're fifth and seventh in baseball. The Sox are first in batting average with those free swingers of Anderson and Abreu and, of course, Luis Robert. The Cubs are tied for first in home runs. You know, it's just, it's so much fun. And really, just watching both sides. But the way that the Cubs are doing it is the way that Madden always wanted them to. And you guys remember, when Madden told the score that the problem was approach last September, and you guys had Jed Hoyer in person, I think you were at Aurelio's over there by Wrigley is where you were.
Yep.
And Jed Hoyer said that the offense was not as good as they expected it to be because they weren't grinding every at bat. They were not locked in on every pitch the way you need to be. They are now. And whether they were humbled over the last couple years, whether they needed the voice change that they now have with Ross, whether it is the urgency of 60 games or that feeling of the last dance that many of them have copped to because they're a proud bunch and they're going to be broken apart at some point, they have the constant mindfulness from pitch to pitch that it takes to play that kind of baseball right now. That's what they're showing on a daily basis.
We're talking to Matt Spiegel. We're going to do it every Monday at least throughout baseball season so he can recap the weekend that was in his game. We've talked a lot about the short leash and when you make changes, mostly through the prism of Craig Kimbrel. What about Albert Almora? I don't know, with Souza, Schwarber, Hayward, and Happ, Happ's been incredible. Three home runs in OPS, well over 1,000. If Almora can't put the ball in play against a lefty with a runner on third, less than two outs.
Yes.
I don't really see why he would get any starts or meaningful playing time that isn't just defensive replacement late when you have a lead.
I completely agree. He is a fifth outfielder or maybe a sixth outfielder on a 30-man roster. And when they eventually get down to 26, I don't know that Albert Almora has a spot here. Steven Souza is a much more skilled ball player in several facets, and he can't go anywhere. And I'd rather see him. So unless you think you need Albert's defensive replacement skills in center, I don't know what else there is. And I don't need to see him start anymore. I completely agree.
Then when it goes to the bullpen, Spiegs, who has upside? Where do you see high ceiling options for the Cubs? And then we'll get to the White Sox.
Well, they just signed Cody Allen, the former Indians closer.
That's not an answer to my question.
Come on, Danny. You saw all those scoreless innings those Cats compiled yesterday. Their names are Sadler and Winkler and Tapera.
Yeah. Sadler's got upside. And Sadler was actually pretty good last year. I trust Jeremy Jeffress in a way that I trusted Pedro Strop. And I think that's going to end up feeling like a good comp for him. Rowan Wick is your closer until further notice. Lefty-wise, they're scrambling, man. Justin Steele is here. I saw that Clayton Richard got signed, and at first I thought it was the Cubs giving it a shot again, but it's the White Sox. But that's how desperate, you know, everybody is for a bullpen lefty. But for the Cubs, I mean, Brad Wick is on the injured list. Kyle Ryan's velocity was way down, and he got beat up on Saturday night. So Justin Steele is here. I don't trust the Rex brothers, either of them. It did not in Colorado or a couple other places. So look, it's a scary proposition. James Norwood and Dylan Maples are young guys that Ross convinced them to try and believe in. They're both gone. Norwood on the injured list to make way for Justin Steele. Maples sent back down because he can't find the plate. They have an 8.07 ERA as a bullpen. It's more than a full run worse than the Cardinals. or then Cincinnati, who's next in line. By the way, the Cardinals and the Dodgers both have a bullpen ERA under one. Under one as a bullpen. That must be nice. But no, it's terrifying stuff. But realize that in the two bad Kimbrel outings, they survived and won those games. And over the weekend, Kimbrel wasn't used. And the way that they've handled it, the way that they've dealt with it, they have proven the short leash theory that Theo talked on and then Jed Hoyer talked on with you guys on Friday. You cannot risk it. You cannot mortgage the possibility of this start and where you are. Kimbrel is not the closer until he gets it figured out. And they believe that he can figure it out. They think they know what the problem is and they're working on it. We'll see.
Sox looking for their fifth straight win tonight in Milwaukee. Carlos Rodon did not get out of the fourth in his first start of the year against the Indians. Didn't look really comfortable, was having problems with his landing foot on the mound in Cleveland. What do you expect from Rodon tonight, and how meaningful is that series sweep of the Royals in your mind?
Oh, it's meaningful because you're through the first nine games. Remember we talked about the first nine games, how these three series against the division, two of them on the road. And I said, if the Sox come out of that 6-3, you're going to feel great because that truly extrapolates to like 16-8 in a 24 game sample to start the year. You'd feel great at that point. It's 5-4. So it's not quite 6-3. But at 5-4, you're still feeling pretty good, especially with an expanded playoff. Sox are going to be in good shape. Starting pitching is a big problem, as we've seen. They're 29th in starting pitcher ERA with a 6.38. Only the Red Sox are worse than them. And Rodon's got to give them innings. He's got to give them innings. And really, the only guy that you feel real good about both times so far is Keuchel. Giolito, though, did figure it out that second time. That's a great showing. And unfortunate to see Jimmy Lambert go on the 45-day injured list today. So that starting pitcher depth will be tested. I think Rodon's going to get his chances here. As long as he's healthy, he's going to continue to get some chances, especially with Lopez down. But they've had a great bullpen, which has done a lot for them. They just went a streak of, 18 straight scoreless innings by that bullpen on the road through the first five games of the road trip. So they feel good if they can get to that bullpen with a lead and the offense is helping them do it. They're so fun.
They are ridiculously fun.
My God. There's just so many bats that are fun. The fact that no one really is even talking about Yoan Moncada, who as of right now is still the best player on that team. I mean, Robert might be so in a moment, but as of right now, I mean, it's like Moncada is so good in all the facets, and he's like basically forgotten because you're enjoying the Eloy and Robert show so much, and then you get caught up with Nick Madrigal's four-hit day. They're just the lineup is absolutely loaded. It's very difficult for Renteria to screw up the top six or seven in that lineup. Very difficult for him to do.
Spiegs, on Luis Robert, it used to be that baseball, it wasn't that it was an old man's game, but you had to, let me see, 1,500 at-bats and, like, play your way into your prime. And, you know, late 27 to 29 was when you became a true superstar in the game. But that's not the case anymore, right? Soto, Acuna, across the board. There's so many young superstars in the sport. Mm-hmm. How soon are we having that conversation about Luis Robert where we're like, oh man, this guy might actually be a top 10 player in baseball already?
That conversation could happen this season. It absolutely could happen this season. His combination of sprint speed and exit velocity off the bat. Did you guys see this list of players who were in the 75th percentile or above in terms of exit velocity, so hitting the ball hard, and being able to sprint? This is where Luis Robert is so far this year. This is the list of players who last year, over a full season, were in the 75th percentile or above in those two numbers. Mike Trout, Ronald Acuna Jr., Christian Yelich, Shohei Ohtani, Bryce Harper, Javi Baez, Cody Bellinger, Trevor Story. End of list. End of
That's
list.
That's good company.
Those are the best all-around athletes among offensive players in the game. Mm-hmm. And that's where Robert is already athletically. He is as impressive as those guys athletically. He's one of the best athletes going right now in multiple sports. I know Jason Benetti comped him to Terrell Owens. You know, it's like it's that kind of athleticism. And then what we're seeing is him hit off speed. People are throwing him a tremendous amount of curveballs and sliders, and he's hitting them. And I feel like when you talk about the young stars, Danny, there's so much data. Is it data or is it data? There's so much stuff out there.
Ask John Gruden, yeah.
Yeah, there's so much stuff out there.
Data.
Yeah, whichever one it is, that if you truly are doing that level of learning, if you're showing the interest to do that kind of education, then you can come out of the gate ready for how they're going to attack you. And I feel like Robert has come out of the gate that way. There's a hidden little beautiful gem in the double zoom that he and Eloy did the other night, where Eloy is laughing and saying how he was telling him he needed a triple for the cycle. And Robert says, "Oh, don't tell me I need a triple. I'm just trying to hit the ball hard on the barrel." And Eloy says, "Well, just hit the ball hard and you'll get a triple." You know, it's all funny. But that's what his goal is. He's not out there looking to hit a home run. He's not out there looking to hit a triple or a double. And he doesn't want to think about that. He's just looking to hit the hell out of the ball every single time. And then you'll see what happens after that. And he'll probably outrun whatever it is. Guys, yesterday on Hit and Run, I played the highlight of a fielder's choice with Luis Robert. I played a fielder's choice because it was from the other day when he, I think it was Friday, and it should have been a routine 6-4-3 double play. It was a grounder like directly at Adalberto Mondesi of the Royals, and he shoveled it, real quick pivot, and Robert beat it by like a step and a half. He is a ridiculous athletic freak who seems to know how they're going to attack him and likes to hit the ball on the barrel. And it's just, I mean, now that the lid is off the bottle of batting him leadoff, I mean, good luck. Good luck getting him out of that spot. They say, all right, here you go, hit leadoff. And his first time out, he goes 4-for-6 with 3 extra base hits and a home run. Do you know how many pitches he saw in 6 plate appearances as the leadoff man the other night?
No.
10 pitches total. In 6 appearances.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
He doesn't care. Right. He doesn't care. Like, oh, yeah, I think I can hit that one. All right, there it is. He's not going to walk a lot. Tim Anderson doesn't walk a lot.
No.
So it's not, you know, it's just, but if Luis is going to hit the ball that hard, then you want him to bat as many times as possible. So go ahead and put him up top.
So we've had a lot of fun listening to people try and find the comparison for Luis Robert. I haven't heard a lot of discussion about a comparison for Aaron Bummer, but I want to ask you to find one, because I don't know how many eighth inning guys in baseball history have sold tickets. Two of the 3 outs he recorded yesterday were punch outs. 3 of the 4 outs he recorded Saturday were strikeouts. He was equally as good in Cleveland when they salvaged a win last, Thursday night or Wednesday night in that series finale. I don't remember being this stoked to see a guy come in the eighth inning ever for a Chicago pitcher to work the eighth, because he is exciting. He is a weapon.
Absolutely. No, we're used to the best guy in the bullpen almost always being the closer, the key guy in the bullpen. I mean, when's the last time for either team that the most dominant guy was setup or middle closer in that way that Madden used for a while? But this is
the only one I can give you. Wade Davis was on those Royals teams.
Yes.
Right. He was better than Greg Holland, and he was
absolutely
a cult hero among Royals fans. And he would normally pitch the eighth and sometimes the seventh.
That's the correct kind of comp. And then eventually when he was the closer, he was great.
Yep.
And eventually when Aaron Bummer will be a closer here or somewhere else, he'll probably be great, assuming that health is in his favor. But Andrew Miller is your comp, Mac. The way that Andrew Miller remade his career and became what he became for the Indians, and then the Yankees and the Cardinals for a little while. I mean, that's the most important guy in the White Sox bullpen is Aaron Bummer. And the ability to utilize him in the seventh or eighth when the game is on the line, or even sixth if you need to, knowing that Colome is fine as a closer and does not get rattled and is there for you. That's your Greg Holland. And that's, you know, the modern bullpen, it was for a while, as it was in Kansas City, I need a guy for the seventh, a guy for the eighth, a guy for the ninth. Now you need probably three or four guys, but you can mix and match them and leading up to that closer. And Bummer is without a doubt the most important guy in that bullpen.
Spiegs, as always, good stuff, man. We'll be talking to you throughout the baseball season.
A pleasure, gentlemen. So much to dissect and discuss with these teams. So keep going. I just hope Rob Manfred doesn't find either what he calls competitive integrity problems or shame issues. I hope he doesn't find either one of those.
Thank you, Spiegs. That's all Matt right, Spiegel. Inside the clubhouse, hit and run. You'll hear him on this show throughout the baseball season. I got a scenario for you, Mac, that might bring what Speaks was just talking about to the forefront, and it could happen at any time in any sport.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's next on The Score. Thanks to Matt Spiegel, it's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Speaks posited, Mac, something that I had said earlier in the show as well, that baseball's just plowing through. Break out the Cardinals, break out the Marlins. They just want to get to the playoffs and get their TV money, competitive balance be damned. There's a story coming out of college football that I'm wondering if this type of thing happened to a high-profile athlete, if you think it might change things and make a bit of an impact. Because I think sometimes when a story gets personalized is when people can relate to it more. This is a Facebook post that is going viral from the mom of a freshman offensive lineman at Indiana, right? His name is Brady Feeney. Her name is Debbie Rucker. So obviously not a significant athlete in terms of prestige or NFL draft prospects or anything like that, but of course a college athlete. Here is the Facebook post, which she does a little preamble to, asking people to wear their masks and that her son gave her permission to tell the story. My son was negative when he got tested at the beginning of volunteer workouts. Within 3 weeks, he and multiple others tested positive. His university has done everything right by shutting down workouts and retesting the whole team. Unfortunately, this virus hit my son very hard compared to most of his teammates. Here was a kid in perfect health, great physical condition, and due to the virus, ended up going to the ER because of breathing issues. After 14 days of hell battling the horrible virus, his school did additional testing on all those that were positive. My son even received extra tests because he was one of the worst cases. Now we are dealing with possible heart issues. He is still experiencing additional symptoms, and his blood work is indicating additional problems. Bottom line, even if your son's schools do everything right to protect them, they can't protect them. I pray my son recovers from this horrible virus and can lead a healthy, normal life. Football does not really matter when your child's health is in jeopardy. Think about it. My heart is hurting, and I pray for all of these kids and for the people making the decisions about the season. Please protect all of those around you, and please wear a mask. Thank you for listening. Fairly powerful stuff, and with college athletes, I would imagine it might resonate on some level. Northwestern shutting down their workouts today, and we're seeing what's happening in the Pac-12 with those kids getting together and talking about how their standards are not met. But if we are looking to break out with the Marlins, break out with the Cardinals, unequal number of games, and it all just going through, if a prominent professional baseball player had what happened to that Indiana football player happened to them, do you think that would be a big enough story where baseball would have to shut down the season?
Danny, I got to think at some point the virus is going to hit some high-level athlete harder than it has to date. I'd love to be wrong on that, but the odds are in my favor. And, because so many young people seem to think that, well, I'm not going to have any long-term effects from this. This kid sounds like he's got a hell of a struggle ahead of him, as some will have for a long, long time after, you know. What I think about when I hear her post is how I don't envy parents of college-age students right now, college kids, regardless of playing sports, how difficult it would be for me to sign off on going away to campus with this stuff out there. And how I did it, and it doesn't mean I was right, but what I decided to do when my kids finished high school, two of my three who didn't have autism, let them make their decisions and let them make their mistakes. This thing might have the potential to change the way I would look at that. If I, had a college-age student who were my son or daughter right now, I might be inclined to be a little bit more forceful and a little bit more suggestive about what their plans are, let alone playing sports. To me, playing sports at the college level right now is flat out irresponsible. The sports where social distancing is so difficult to achieve anyway, like football.
Exactly. Well, so I was thinking about it because Spiegs was saying at the beginning of the segment, like, hey, I'm here for it. I'm here for all of this baseball. We love it, right? It was a great weekend of sports. This is it's really cool. Like, whatever your favorite sport is outside of football, you've got it happening right now, and it's happening at the same time. Like, this weekend, there's a golf major with added in to NBA playoffs and hockey playoffs and baseball games that matter. And so all of this stuff is happening at the same time. It's in a vacuum, it's so fun and it's so cool, but this thing, this virus just hangs over all of it, and just like it hangs over all of any walk of life, but just through the prism of us talking about sports. If baseball is at the point of we're just powering it through because we want money, then maybe nothing will shut it down unless some story happens like that. And then that just feels morally wrong. Like, because I'm with Speed. Like, I was rooting for and enjoying the baseball as a distraction from the other serious things happening in my life and the world at large. But damn, man, like, there are consequences to this entertainment that we're having. And that's a 19-year-old kid who apparently he's going to have heart defects or heart problems for a long time because of a virus who is otherwise healthy. Like, sometimes it's the responsibility of those in power to protect people from themselves. And I don't know what it will take for Rob Manfred to shut down this season. Evidently, we're not there yet.
Yeah, I don't think that's on his to-do list anytime soon. This baseball season, I think they will find a way to muscle through this and continue to change the rules as they go and get their playoff money. College sports, football in particular, is the one that I just think is a head scratcher right now. And you talk about morals. Yeah, is it of good moral fiber to get college athletes together right now in that sport and say let's conduct a football season very similar to what we're used to? We're going to be farther apart, but we're still going to play football. It doesn't seem responsible to me in the slightest.
It's morally bankrupt.
Yeah,
because it's at least with professional baseball players or professional basketball players or hockey players or golfers, whomever, they're professionals.
Right.
They're getting compensated for it. That's right. This story out of the Pac-12 is massive. These guys, all different athletes, men and women, different sports, different levels of prestige, some NFL draft prospects, other cross-country runners, getting together and organizing by way of group chat and social media and Zoom calls to come up with a list of protocols to try to standardize the care for the coronavirus across the Pac-12 and address issues of, hey, don't just placate us by throwing out a Black Lives Matter post on the official social media account. Like, what are you actually doing? You make all of this money off of the unpaid labor of largely black athletes in the revenue sports, basketball and football. What are you actually doing to give back and show that you care? It's a really impressive thing that takes me back to what Northwestern tried to do with unionization in 2015. And it's, I just don't know how morally you could advocate for it. Big business and adults opting in for a job is one thing. Amateur athletes not getting paid so that coaches and athletic directors and administrators can get paid is an entirely different thing. So yeah. I maintain what I said in March, that I don't see how anyone could justify college football happening. So, but that story out of Indiana is absolutely going to have waves throughout the college football world and maybe the sports world at large. We had some awesome, weird Dan Bernstein audio on this station, and there's nothing that puts a smile on Chris Tannehill's face, my face, probably your face, Shep's face. We really just love it. It's the thing that brings the mob together. So we'll do it next on The Score.
Chris Tannehill loves it more than anything in the world.
Roberts slices a ball to right center field. Starling back at the wall. It is gone! Oh, easy power from 88. And it's 5-0 Sox.
You could hear it, and you could pretty much tell by the reaction of Starling in center field that that one wasn't coming back.
So damn good already, it doesn't make sense. The story of Chicago baseball thus far, Luis Robert, 23 years old today. Man, he's going to be good for a long, long time, and he's already looking like a superstar, Dan McNeil.
Yeah, he looks like he belongs. He comports himself like he belongs. He's an athlete. He has presence. He can run. He's got power. He's got it all going for him. Hopefully he keeps it all in perspective and enjoys a nice, long, healthy career, most of it in a White Sox uniform. That would be delightful.
Yes, they got two team options that take him basically through his 20s. So you'll have his athletic prime on the south side of Chicago. And he is just, he's incredible to watch, both in the field and at the plate. And yeah, even when he runs, when he can hit the ball, a dribbler back to the pitcher, and he beats out a double play ball. It's pretty remarkable to watch.
He's already the most important 88 in Chicago baseball history.
Yeah. Okay, that's got to be a short list. You would know better than me.
I don't even know if there's ever been an 88 on the Sox prior to Luis Robert or on the Cubs. I don't remember an 88 on either side.
Yeah. Can you come up with another 88 in baseball? I got it in hockey and in football, obviously. But I don't think
while you're thinking on that, yeah, Luis Robert is the lone 88 in White Sox franchise.
Yeah, only 88. No, I can't think of another 88 in baseball.
Yeah, well, that makes him stand out. We believe in degrees of uniqueness on this show. That makes him more unique.
Yes, that's right.
And speaking of unique, our good friend and colleague, Dan Bernstein, he has a way with words, but when he gets going on something, it just gets very Bernstein. It really washes all over us, his descriptions of Luis Robert earlier today.
Joan Moncada also, it's just, they're so intelligent. Luis Robert is, that is a handsome man. I mean, just look at how symmetrical his facial features are. The guy's a damn statue. Luis Robert is just, his image, either just looking at him, you know, the way he carries himself and the whole thing, he's like an idealized baseball machine or something. You remember that scouting report that we did? We had fun with all those comps, and we were doing the wins above replacement for all these over-the-top historical comps that might not be so over-the-top. And someone said Under Armour mannequin, like how chiseled he looks and just how symmetrical he is and how he moves. I understand that. 630, get over your Luis Robert love. Jeez, creepy. Don't you dare tell me not to enjoy this. Don't you dare.
I want you to enjoy every bit of his symmetrical face, Dan.
Yes, leave Dan alone as he fawns over a muscular young 23-year-old outfielder. I can't dispute anything that was said. He does have that Hollywood jut jaw. His complexion is very smooth. He is a very good-looking guy. I just Bernsey beat me to this one,
which is surprising. That's an upset in and of itself.
Right.
Frankly.
Usually, I'm the Dan on the staff who fawns all over other men.
Yeah, but that is that was very Bernsey. The symmetrical nature of his face and the chiseled features. Okay, they're superstars, man.
He does have that jut jaw, though, man. Like it's carved out of stone. The lines on his face are just so pronounced. He's right about that. Now I'm breaking into Bernsey.
I'm jealous of any man with a jawline. Frankly, you don't have to have a great one like Luis Robert. Just the presence of a jawline is something that I envy. So degrees of jawline doesn't really matter to me. It's binary for me. It's a yes-no proposition, and I firmly on the no for having one. So, yeah, all of them look better than me in that particular regard. But, man, I look at this lineup every time it comes out with him batting leadoff. It's like they could lead the league in runs. Like that team, just every name in it can produce. Nick Madrigal comes up, has four hits. It's a very impressive collection of talent, top to bottom, all of whom will be here for, you know, or the majority of whom will be here for at least the next five seasons. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, next hour, let's go over some of tonight's propositions. We have money to be made out there. We're sitting at almost $2,000 in the show's account, so I want to go over some of the investment opportunities, and I might even step outside of the locals tonight. I might even play another game in Major League Baseball that I have an interest in. So I'll run.
Okay, I will let you sell us on some investments, and we have to celebrate our guy Chris Tannehill getting some pretty high profile recognition. It's all coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Mac and Park is on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.